What if the future was here now? In fact, it is.
When Elias Brotberger goes to work, he doesn't need ID. And he doesn't need money. In fact, much of what he needs to get through the day is hidden right there, just below the surface, in his hand.
Like to touch it?
Yeah. Oh, weird. Yeah, it's like a grain of rice.
Yeah, a grain of rice.
Embedded in his hand is a microchip that serves as his keys, his ID, and his wallet.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jen Markell, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. This is part two of a two-part series with Jen Markell and Pastor Billy Crone of Sunrise Bible Church in Las Vegas. They continue to look at both the bright and the dark side of technology and how a global system will utilize it in the very last days. Here's Jen Markell and Billy Crone.
Hey, you, over there. I can see you. Where, you ask? Everywhere, because I can just pull it up from a satellite. Hey gang, Trace here for DNews. There was a time when satellite imagery was conspiracy talk, only available to high-level government officials or like spies. But thanks to Google Maps and Apple Maps and Bing Maps and MapQuest and the dozens of others out there, we can see satellite images every day for free. Though we just use them to find the nearest Thai restaurant, usually. When Google acquired satellite imaging company Keyhole in 2004, they changed the whole game. Now anyone could look down on the planet and make comments. Today, the actual satellite images are taken by companies like TeleAtlas, Digital Globe, EarthSat, Skybox, and others. They're then sold or licensed to governments and companies for geology, mapping, urban planning, shipment tracking. The applications are pretty much endless. A few months ago, regulators loosened restrictions on US-based Digital Globe, so last week they launched the new WorldView 3 satellite, their highest resolution sat ever. Which means in a few weeks, maps could see images with resolution as high as 25 centimeters. Basically, they'll be able to see a piece of paper that you're holding. They want to launch satellites with a 10 centimeter resolution. It's about the size of your phone screen.
Well, welcome to the program. This is part two of a two-part series. And isn't technology our best friend? All the conveniences that it offers. There may be a dark side. Indeed, the promoters and the inventors of technology, well, they've certainly made our lives interesting, in some cases challenging, in some cases easier, and in some cases a little bit more complicated, to be honest, because technology is quite complicated and it gets more so literally every day. So I'm back with part two of a two-part program, and I have on air with me Pastor Billy Crone. He's pastor of Sunrise Bible Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. Last week, we sort of set the stage, and if you'd like to get caught up on that program, you can go to my website and listen. You can go to our YouTube channel, Jen Markell, Olive Tree Ministries, and actually watch all these wonderful sound bites we're playing. That is, if it has been allowed to be posted, which I'm doubting. You can go to the oneplace.com, where we podcast, that we air on about 850 radio stations. Pastor Crone, thank you for coming back again this week.
Thank you, Jen. It's always great to be on.
We covered a lot of territory. We still have some territory that we want to cover. I said to you off air, I'd kind of like to talk about something that I know probably 95% of my listeners would relate to, and that's the iPhone. My goodness, the things that the iPhone can do. It came along in 2007. It became a mini computer, and if folks don't have an actual computer or iPad, most of them have an iPhone, and that's a computer in their pocket. There can't possibly be something wrong with that, can there? I was watching your presentation, and I'm going to play a clip, Billy Crone, and then we're going to come back and discuss it. I think this will reveal that indeed there are some issues with whatever you have in your pocket or purse called the iPhone, the smartphone.
Sometimes you know your phone has been hacked, but often you don't. We sat down with some of the world's best hackers who showed us just how easy it is for them to get access to everything on your phone.
Is everything hackable?
Yes.
Everything?
Yes.
If somebody tells you, you can't do it.
I don't believe it.
John Herring offered to prove it. So he gathered a group of ace hackers at our Las Vegas hotel. Each of them a specialist in cracking mobile devices.
How easy is it to break the phone right now?
Very easy.
Yeah. As you've seen, pretty trivial.
So do I need to connect to it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It started when we logged on to the hotel Wi-Fi. At least, it looked like the hotel Wi-Fi. Herring had created a ghost version. It's called spoofing.
I mean, this looks legitimate.
It looks very legitimate. So are you connected?
I am.
And I have your email.
You have access to my email right
now? Yeah, it's coming through right now. I now have a ride-sharing application up here. All the information that's being transmitted, including your account ID, your mobile phone, which I just got the mobile number, then more importantly, I have all the credit cards associated with that account.
Now, the hack that you just saw only took a matter of minutes, and I was fooled by that fake Wi-Fi, but in other demonstrations that we're going to show you on Sunday, the hackers were able to exploit a hole in the global cellular network and get into our phones, turn on our cameras, listen to us. All they needed for that was a phone number. With just the phone number, they could hack into my phone. It doesn't matter what you do, what decisions you make, whether you turn location services on or off, they can still get in.
You say even though if you're getting dressed or whatever, they can have access to your camera on your phone?
Yeah, so think about this. So with just the phone number, yeah, they were able to access my phone. So can I borrow your phone for a second because
sure,
I didn't bring mine?
Sure, yeah.
So my phone looked just like this. It didn't light up. There, no light came on.
Yeah.
And they were able to watch me and listen to me. So imagine you take your phone into a meeting, you place it on the desk, you take your phone, you know, when you're getting dressed in the morning. They could be watching you and you wouldn't know.
My guest for Last Week in This says that the cell phone is the biggest big brother ever invented in the history of mankind, and we pay for it around the world. They track, they listen, they watch, they catalog information, our smartphones. And even impoverished nations, they may not be able to have computers, but Billy Crone, you reminded me, they do have cell phones.
Oh, absolutely. I was preaching in a conference in Florida, and I had some missionaries approach me, and they're the ones that turned me on to this reality. They said, not everybody has certainly a DVD player to play your teachings, and have you ever thought about getting a copy on a SIM card? And I said, why? They says, well, because, again, people in India, they don't, by and large, have a DVD player. In fact, most of them really don't even have a computer. But even in India, just about everybody has a cell phone. And, of course, he was looking at it as an opportunity to get God's truth out with a SIM card that they could pop into their cell phone. But it opened my eyes to realize just how ubiquitous cell phones have become. Virtually everybody on the planet has one. In fact, not that long ago in the previous administration, if people recall, apparently even our own government at one point was very concerned that all U.S. citizens had a phone because, you know, said, well, I can't afford it. Well, remember the Obama phone?
Oh, the Obama phone, yes.
Why would the government want to make sure that everybody had a phone, even if the government paid for it, which really comes from us? But why? Well, because I'm convinced, Jen, when you take a look at the facts, and that's why I appreciate you playing that clip, because you start saying that, oh, smartphones, they're listening to you, they're tracking you, they're monitoring your every conversation and all your information. They'll say, you're a wacky conspiracy guy. That was an actual news clip from a legitimate source, and even they are saying, this is not coming, this is not a potential, it's already being done with the iPhone. And again, to use the analogy, it's called the iPhone, all right. If you want a better description, then supplant the letter I with the letters EYE, because it's Big Brother I tracking you with that device and monitoring everything about you.
Well, does it apparently knows where we are at every moment? Is that true?
Exactly, Jim. In fact, there's easy ways to demonstrate that. First of all, it's tied into a satellite system that's global. That's how you're able to make phone calls global on that cell phone, right? Well, guess what? That means they know your exact location wherever you're at. They have to in order to transfer that communication as well. So it's a global tracking device, and I can get into that deeper in a little bit. But also, you look at the services that you use on that cell phone. You tell me they don't know everything you do everywhere you are. Certain things that come with these phones, they have like the medical app. It not only knows where you are, it knows exactly what you're doing. In fact, it even knows how many steps you take per day. It literally is tracking you step by step. In fact, we're also able to demonstrate that even if you turn it into airplane mode,
that's fascinating.
And even if you take out the SIM card, you're thinking, well, they can't track me with that. Mm-mm. That phone is still tracking you, still cataloging information on you, including your exact whereabouts, including to the exact timestamp of when you get in a car and out of a car. And as soon as you turn those functions back on, put that card back in, turn it off airplane mode, as soon as it connects once again to the matrix, the internet, it uploads that information to them, and it never misses a beat.
I think the point you and I have been making here now, we're going into our second week doing it, is all of this technology, and of course it's made our lives interesting. It's certainly helped us learn some things. They're kind of an education device, particularly the internet. Even edification, we get all sorts of teachings via the internet, via electronics. But the point is, going into the hands of the wrong person, can we say Mr. Antichrist? We don't know who he is. We just know he's probably waiting in the wings. Going into the hands of the wrong person would be a very devastating experience. And what we're saying is some of this is setting the stage, is paving the way for the Antichrist kingdom. Of course, the church does not go into that 7-year tribulation period, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be aware of the tactics that are being used and that will be used big time in that one world system. Go ahead, Billy.
Yeah, and again, it's logically, of course, it has to slowly but surely progress to meet the needs of the Antichrist in the 7-year tribulation. Because think about it, it's like, okay, here comes the 7-year tribulation, here's the Antichrist, and then they sit there and go, you know what? I really need to start working on real quick on how to tie the world together, all the economies, the government, the religions, and the cashless society, and the market. No, that stuff needs to come into play. And you're right, Jen, I'm not concerned about going to the 7-year tribulation. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for Jesus Christ. We get out of there before that. The point for the Christian is that means the 7-year tribulation is closed. We leave prior to the rapture. So we need to be responsible as Christians, not fearful, but faithful with what time we have left to make a difference for our loved ones and the people around us. But it's a step-by-step process.
Right.
And you go to the aspect of Revelation 13, and it clearly pictures a big brother, to use the term, type global scenario. Why? Because it says there that him and his religious cohort, the false prophet, are going to institute a system where it says they make, they force, they order, they cause people to do what they say, and in one instance mentioned, worship the Antichrist on a global basis. And not only that, if you don't do what they say, they're going to kill you. And of course, implemented with the Mark of the Beast, right? Well, wait a second. This is on a global scale. How in the world is one guy and his religious cohort going to know what everybody around the world is doing, what they're saying, and even whether or not when he dishes out a global order, worship me, that they even obey or not? And then, even if he could figure out if they obeyed or not, how's he going to know exactly where they are to kill them, to take them out?
I want to transition with what you just said. I want to go back to the National Security Agency, NSA, and we talked about it last week. We spent just a few minutes on it. I'm going to play another clip here in just a moment. But let's just clarify here that the NSA, it's a massive data storing outfit in Utah. You said you knew someone or you are acquainted with someone who worked for the NSA. They had to quit. What happened?
I tell you what, that was when I was pastor in New York, and things have unfortunately gotten even worse since then. I got a strange, quote-unquote, strange phone call out of the blue as I was on my home, got a call on my cell phone. And it was this lady. It wasn't a very long phone call, but just for a few minutes. And she said, Pastor Billy, I just want to give you a call. And she was aware of some of the teachings I've done on Big Brother issues. And she said, I am a second-generation employee of NSA, or I was. She said, my father's been working there. Of course, I got hired on. I'm working for years. She says, but I'm not doing it anymore. She says, I couldn't stomach anymore what I was seeing being done through the NSA on the American public. She said, I recently quit. And then she just simply said this, you're on the right track. Keep up the good work. And then hung up the phone.
Oh, my.
And
I want to play a clip and come back and talk about it.
The biggest U.S. Department of Defense construction project isn't an aircraft carrier or a nuclear missile site. It's a massive data storage facility in Utah. What will be stored there is raising serious questions. CCTV's Jim Spellman has that story.
In a field in Utah, about a half hour south of Salt Lake City, a massive construction project is wrapping up. When it is completed in a few months, it will be the world's largest repository of digital information. Its owners, the U.S. National Security Agency, the NSA. James Bamford has been writing about the NSA for more than 30 years.
All the information will be stored there, and then people at NSA headquarters or at their different listening posts around the world will be able to dip into it.
It's called the Utah Data Center, sprawling more than 450,000 square meters with its own power plant, water pumping station to cool the servers, and intense security. It's a key part of the NSA strategy, gather as much information as possible from as many sources as possible, and use it to stop terrorist attacks and create strategic advantages over rival countries.
What this is really about is the ability to take a lot of data and learn things that you otherwise can't. And to do that, you need to throw mountains of information at very powerful computers.
Where the data is coming from is what concerns privacy advocates. So if I make a phone call, send a text message, do a Google search on my phone, that's information that could end up at this data center in Utah?
Oh, definitely, any kind of communication.
The NSA is one of the most secretive agencies in the U.S. government, with little oversight from Congress. Even its budget is not publicly released. So what data is stored here and where it came from will likely never be fully known. But there's no sign the NSA or intelligence agencies in other countries are slowing down this hunt for data and information.
Is this an arms race for data?
Yeah, it's very much an arms race for data.
And this data center in Utah is soon to be the United States' biggest weapon in its information arsenal.
And the NSA won't say exactly how much information the Utah Data Center will be able to hold, but experts say they can expect it to be about a Yoda byte. To put that into perspective, an iPhone can hold 16 gigabytes. The NSA's new facility will be able to hold the same amount of data as 64 trillion iPhones. Laid end to end, that number of iPhones could stretch to the moon and back over 10,000 times.
If you just joined me, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have online Pastor Billy Crone because we're carrying his 8-DVD set with 16 compelling teachings in my online store, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. You can call my office. You can get on our newsletter lists, e-newsletter, print newsletter, to be advertised in those newsletters. Billy Crone is pastor of Sunrise Bible Church, Las Vegas, Nevada. Billy Crone, it's a big brother system, obviously. It's electronic monitoring, I would guess, trying to find out what our friends, our emails, texts, etc. But tell me a little bit more about this, because that call that you got was extremely telling.
Yeah, it was. Most people don't realize this has been going on for quite some time. And again, the NSA, it says they're, quote, responsible for the global monitoring, collection, and decoding of information and data for foreign intelligence. Well, that's good, but the problem is, it's not just foreign intelligence. It's even here in America. And a lot of that got opened up to become so, quote-unquote, legal after 9/11, the Patriot Act, and Homeland Security and that stuff. They're recording, and have been recording, folks, for a long time, our phone conversations, emails, faxes, I kid you not, even television viewing, what you do on the computer, your search engine, all that stuff is being stored in this database. Now, the way the system typically works, what they do is they look for what's called buzzwords. We've documented this before, that let's say you're having a conversation with your friend on the phone. You have no idea it's being recorded, not just monitored, recorded. That's why they have to have these huge data centers. And you're saying, hey, my son was in the Christmas play yesterday, and we went and saw it. Man, I felt so bad for him because and you're talking to your friend, he really bombed the play. Now, that conversation likely is going to end up on somebody's desk at NSA because you used the trigger word there, bomb, right? And again, so there's certain trigger words, things that they're looking for. But again, it could be completely out of context. Now, the problem, some of the research we came across is, that was a completely innocent use of that word. You weren't saying, like, I'm going to build a bomb. But you are officially now, forever, in their catalog as the dossier is building up on you. And again, this is being done not just around the world. It's being done even to American citizens. But that's what's concerning about it is they say, well, we have to do this in order to find the, quote, bad guys, the criminals, i.e. the buzzword, another one, terrorists, right? And so that's usually where people have been conditioned to back off. Well, yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah, this is an invasion of privacy, but as long as you're not doing anything wrong, there's nothing to worry about. Well, see, that's the problem. Who gets to define that term terrorist, folks? You and I don't get to do that. And don't kid yourself, even as a Christian, if we could become the new terrorists.
Yeah,
and if you're
that's
looking
right.
at the media, they're already doing the propaganda, because they're using the same terminology on the evangelical Christian, not the fake Christian, not the liberal Christian, but the evangelical Christian, they're calling us the same terms they're calling the Muslim terrorists. We are right-wing fundamentalists, extremists, terrorist groups. We have the audacity to say that our way is the only way. Well, I didn't say that. Jesus did, John 14:6. He's the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by him. But that's being intolerant. You're a religious terrorist. We need to... Do you see where this is going?
I do see where it's going. And folks, I'm going to make this appeal two or three times throughout the programming. I did last week. We are not being conspiratorial here. The Bible outlines a coming global system with a global leader. The global leader will not be Mr. Nice. He will be a dictator. The church will be gone, enjoying heaven. But those left behind, and please don't be left behind, turn to Jesus today so that you're not left behind. But those who are left behind are going to have to put up with some terrible things. And all we're saying is some of what we see today is setting the stage. If it's setting the stage so blatantly, it's almost as though the Antichrist could appear tomorrow. Well, maybe he will. The church will be taken first, perhaps today. Pastor Crone, I'm going to have you back me up on that and that. We're not trying to disseminate bad news here. We said that last program. We need to say it again.
No, because the message for the church is when you look at these signs, these are all events that are needed that will ultimately to fulfill the events of the seven-year tribulation leading up to that event. As Christians, we know through Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, we are not going into the seven-year tribulation. Because the Bible is very clear. That is a time when God outpours his wrath for 7 years nonstop. And the Bible is very clear, Romans 5, 1 Thessalonians 1, 1 Thessalonians 5, the passages before and after the rapture passage, says we are saved from, we are not appointed unto, and we are rescued from the wrath of God. So I'm not concerned about going into this time frame that these events are leading up to, which granted will be horrible, as Jesus said, the worst time in the history of mankind, but I'm not going to be there. So I should not be fearful. Number one, actually, think about it, Jan. I should get excited because I don't know the day or the hour of the rapture, but this tells me logically, biblically, it's got to be getting close. Because if I see these events needed to fulfill the seven-year tribulation, not coming but already here, then the rapture has to take place prior. My departure is soon. So if you love him, you long for his appearing. You're excited about his appearing. But it's also motivational. It's not just exciting, it's motivational. Which, by the way, folks, last time I checked, being raptured and going to heaven is the best-case scenario. So let's remind ourselves of that. But it's also motivating because that means, wait a second, okay, praise God, I'm going to heaven at the rapture. I'm not going into God's wrath, of course, but I got loved ones. I got family. I got neighbors. I got coworkers. I got people that don't know Jesus around me still. I need to get busy sharing the gospel because today could be that last day. And both of those scenarios are an awesome, wonderful thing for the church. And that's why I say all the time, this is not a time to be fearful. This information should not instill fear in you if you're a Christian. It should excite you because that means Jesus is coming back and it should motivate you to share him like never before because time is running out.
Folks, if you missed program one, hopefully you can easily get it on my website, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, and go to radio. You can download the oneplace.com mobile app and have the programs downloaded to your devices every Saturday morning, and they're kept there for quite a while. You can go to the oneplace.com podcasting site. We keep mentioning things like that, and we certainly don't want to not mention our wonderful radio stations that air the programming on a weekly basis, about 850 radio stations now. You can hopefully catch it on our YouTube channel, Jan Markell Olive Tree Ministries. I have a sneaking suspicion that Google's not going to allow these two programs. If you subscribe, you'd be a whole lot more likely to be getting our programming on YouTube, where we're showing you all the videos that we're playing. We're showing you on our YouTube channel. And I think one more thing let's cover in this first segment of program two, Billy Crone, and that is we shouldn't necessarily be avoiding technology. We can make it work for us. We can turn this what could be deemed as evil, we really can redeem it.
Oh, absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up because invariably you start talking about this and you even we talked about the cashless society before. People, hey, should I use my ATM card because that's electronic and am I supporting the mark of the beast? Well, first of all, the mark of the beast system doesn't happen until the 7 year tribulation and we're gone prior. You're not supporting that. You're not a part of that. So this is how we pay for things, so don't worry about it in that aspect. But number two, technology, my opinion on it, is it's kind of like money. Money is a neutral thing. Now, money can be used for good or for evil. In fact, many people quote that passage of the Bible out of complete context. They say, well, money's the root of all evil. No, that's not what it says. It says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Satan's the author of evil. But it's what you do with money, right, determines whether it's being used for good or not good. Same thing with technology. Technology is a neutral thing, right? I'm not afraid of technology. I mean, our teaching ministry is called Get a Life Media. And so what do? This is our mindset. Are you just going to let the enemy use all this technology, whether it be phones or computers or social media or things of that nature, and for his nefarious purposes, which we're talking about in these programs, or while we still have the freedom to use them, how about we use the same technology that we know the world is already tapping into, and how about we use it to share Jesus with them? So you use what the enemy certainly is using for good. We can use the same technology and do something positive with it. And that's our heartbeat. We have two different social media accounts, but it's not because I've got to get up there and watch people make sandwiches and the cat playing the piano on YouTube again. We use it to share the gospel,
yeah,
to keep people connected, because we know they're already going to be on it. Use it for Christ.
We're heading into that in part two of this hour. We want to talk about how the social media industry is, again, everything you're doing on social media is being watched, everything and being categorized, being put in various storehouses, being sold, everything you're doing, which we're trying to say, let's redeem it. We certainly can. We'll say more about that. Some other things we still want to talk about. What about sort of analyzing predictive behavior? And won't that be convenient for the Antichrist to have a tool where he can analyze predictive behavior? He'll even know who might get saved during that tribulation and who won't, depending on the kind of technology that's available at that time, which quite frankly could be tomorrow. We don't know. So there's still some things we need to talk about when we come back. We'll do that. We're taking a real short time out, back in just a minute or two.
Let us hear from you if we make a difference. Write us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail by writing to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. More with Jan and Billy Crone in a moment. It is not too early to mark your calendars for Understanding the Times 2020. We will have a two-day event, Saturday, September 26th, and Sunday, September 27th. Tickets will go on sale for the Saturday event next summer. There will be no charge for Sunday activities. Speakers at our annual conference include Joel Rosenberg, Amir Sarfati, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Michelle Bachman, and Pastor Barry Stagner. We meet again at Grace Church, Eden Prairie, Minnesota, just outside of Minneapolis. Check our website for hotel options. On Sunday, September 27th, we'll have a morning service with Pastor Jack Hibbs. Jack speaks live at 9 and 11 a.m. Sunday evening, we'll feature an evening with Joel Rosenberg at 6 p.m. These events are free, and seating is first come, first served. Location is Revive Church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. Since many make plans months ahead, please make note of this special weekend in the Twin Cities area of Minnesota. We'll encourage you to better understand the times and become watchmen on the wall as we await his return.
There will be no place to hide. They will know everything about you, every moment of your, not just information, your likes and dislikes. They'll know you better than you. They'll know your exact location. You won't be able to hide. You won't be able to run out and to make it to some bug out shelter. You won't be able to go anywhere. The only way to, quote, escape is not a bug out shelter, is to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
If you miss a program, catch it on our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. We have a visual YouTube where you can see the program on our YouTube channel at Jan Markell and Olive Tree Ministries. You can also listen at your leisure at oneplace.com and also download their mobile app. The program will be sent to your devices Saturday morning. We try to equip the church to be end-time believers and watchmen on the wall. Here is Jan Markell.
What has Facebook been up to, and why does it even affect people not signed on to Facebook? Web developer and surveillance expert Sander Venema joins me via Skype from Zwolle in the Netherlands. Sander, welcome back to Going Underground. So what has Facebook done to trample over European privacy laws?
Well, there was a report that was published by the Belgian Privacy Commissioner about Facebook's tracking behavior, and more specifically, the social plugins that they use. And these are the sort of the like buttons and share buttons that you can see on millions of websites across the internet. And these are loaded in from Facebook's domain name, and that basically places a cookie, Facebook places a cookie on your computer whenever those buttons are loaded in.
So if you press like on one of those like buttons, which doesn't even have to be on a Facebook site, it can be anywhere, it could be asking your ideology or your political persuasion, it all gets stored on your computer, and this is what the European regulators are worried about.
Actually, before you click like, when that like button is loaded in, so you load up a website, it has the like button on it, before you even click on it, information went to Facebook, and Facebook then places a uniquely identifying cookie on your computer, which they then subsequently use on all of their other sites with Facebook like buttons to map the sites that you visit, basically, and thereby map your interests.
And welcome back. Sign up for my various newsletters, won't you? We talk about these kinds of issues in my print and e-newsletter, and I think you'll be informed and edified by them. If you write to us, tell us what station you're listening or how you listen. Maybe you're a podcaster. Maybe you're listening to one of our networks. Maybe you're a YouTuber. We're so glad to always hear from the various sources and how you listen. It helps us better plan here in the office. My guest for the last week and this has been Pastor Billy Crone. He pastors Sunrise Bible Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. You can learn more at getalifemedia.com, getalifemedia.com. And what I've tried to do for 2 weeks is, actually, we kind of talked about this a little bit a year ago. It's so important that we keep up to date with who's kind of looking over our shoulder. And Billy Crone shared some of this at Understanding the Times 2018, as did Eric Barger. They have some similar information in their presentations, and I just consider both to be very cutting edge and very essential. And I found it interesting in 2018 that when Pastor Crone here was showing some of his information on artificial intelligence, some of the workers in the church that we use every year in a suburb of Minneapolis, the teenagers, maybe early 20s, where they were lined up watching the screens, the television screens, showing the presentation in the auditorium, as they were fascinated, the things they love to tap into, and where are they going with technology? How can they be misused? I think this is a message really, though, for all ages, because today all ages are involved in some kind of technology. I'm sure that's safe to say. Billy Crone, let's move into the issue of social media. And I think we need to stress that this is a vast data gathering outfit at the various social media platforms, be they Instagram, be they Twitter, be they Facebook. I'm going to play a clip in just a minute. Why don't you intro how you handled it in this 8-DVD set that we carry in our store?
Well, Facebook, I have another name for them based on their
Tracebook.
Behavior. Yeah, exactly. I call it Tracebook. And that's exactly what's going on, folks. They are tracing you, and certainly with the information about you. And think about all that we volunteer up to this giant entity, this global entity, that at last count has 2.45 billion.
Billion
users.
With a B.
Yeah, around the planet, and it's growing every day. And that's just Facebook. There's Twitter, and there's Snapchat, and all these other ones out there. But they are cataloging all kinds of information, right? They know your likes, your dislikes, because you tell them, I like that, I don't like that. They know your friends, your contacts. They know where you are because you tell them where they are. And it's called Facebook for a reason, folks. Mm-hmm. You also give them your face, multitude of shots. And, folks, this is all being cataloged and building dossiers on us. Now, they say, well, we're just using this to sell you stuff. And there is that aspect, which I still find very uncomfortable, personally. But it's beyond that because it's huge databases, and there's already examples that when push comes to shove, other entities can order these social media entities to give them the information that they're building on people. Facebook knows us better than us. In fact, Facebook and other large entities like Amazon, their goal is to not just know everything about us, but know us better than us so they can predict our behavior, including buying and shopping habits and things of that nature. Again, the other concerning thing is not just our likes and our dislikes, our contacts and political persuasions, religious ideals and all that stuff, but again, it's the face aspect. You can't hide in this system. In fact, anybody that uses Facebook, as an example, you'll notice that they will actually notify you, and they'll actually say, and they'll send pictures of you out and about, maybe other people that took, and you were included in the photo that you don't even remember or recall, or you're out and about in the public, and then they come to you and say, hey, is this you? Now, they already know. In fact, I've been amazed personally. Some of the ones that they throw back at me on our ministry account is it's like a half or even a quarter of my face, but yet they still know it's me. That's how sophisticated this technology is. In fact, we share video clips from secular people who tried to fool Facebook and their facial recognition software. They actually would put on disguises, and yet Facebook knew it was them.
Let me build on that, because it's talking about Facebook's facial recognition. Facebook knows literally hundreds of millions of faces.
Science fiction almost got it right. Face recognition technology has become part of daily life, but except instead of controlling security access to top secret spy facilities, the technology is being used to identify the people in that crazy picture from last weekend's beach party. It's all happening, of course, on Facebook, which has been quietly using face recognition software on every photo you upload.
Facebook knows me. It knows my friends. It tracks what I like, where I live. It knows my sisters are Christy and Laura. But now, Facebook also knows, well, my face. My face out of everyone else's. Not just mine. If you're on Facebook, Facebook can recognize your face, too. Here's how. While we've been uploading more than 20 billion photos, Facebook has been making biometric fingerprints of all our mugs. And now, Facebook has a massive collection of our faces, probably the largest collection in the world. Kind of cool. Kind of creepy. Here's how it works. That's our intern, Brenna Williams.
I'm going to upload some photos of myself.
She's one of millions of people who's using this feature already. When Brenna uploads photos, Facebook recognizes her and her friends and says, hey, that's you, right? Most of the time, it is, and tagging becomes almost automated. Face recognition technology has been around for a while, mostly used by police. They even scanned people walking into the Super Bowl and caught 19 criminals. The guys at Face.com in Israel showed us how Facebook's technology works. They are the largest facial recognition company online.
So this is Nick.
And once they had my photo, the computer recognized me no matter where I was, every time.
Which got us at Nightline thinking, could we trick Facebook?
I tried one other way to confuse the computer. We sent that photo to the guys at Face.com. And yep, they recognized me even in my cover-up.
Which just goes to show that a disguise may fool your friends, but it probably won't fool Facebook.
Okay, want to comment on that, Billy Crone?
Jen, that sounds like something if you lived in communist Russia or China or something, but folks, this is the United States of America. And we've been duped into giving these people this information that we think was innocuous and we thought was secure and we thought it was just for fun and entertainment, for social needs. Folks, that's all a smokescreen. It's being used against us. It's in these huge databases. And again, it's our profile, our face, not just the information, but our face, hence their name. And if you don't think that that will be used to build a dossier on somebody to determine whether or not they can get a job, whether or not they can buy and sell the Antichrist system, you're fooling yourself because it's already being done. China has taken this to the next step, and there's actually, if you're paying attention to the news, they're actually starting to talk about it already here. Are we going to follow in China's footstep? China has taken the whole social media craze to the next step, and they give their citizens what's called a social media score. And based upon all the information they're gathering on and monitoring constantly on their citizens, then the government of China decides whether or not those people can have a bank account, whether or not they could travel, whether or not they can get a loan, and then they even flip it around. If you're a, quote, good citizen and you do what we say to do, then we will not just only give you a loan, but we'll give you a loan at a really good price. We'll let you travel. And they even throw out this one. They say, we'll even, for those of you using dating sites, we'll bump you up to at a higher level to get a better date or spouse, whatever. China is already doing that, and China is also, not just for the information, giving people a social credit score to determine whether they get a job, but even here in America, most people don't get this. 60% or more of employers, before they hire somebody, you know where they're going right now, Jan? They're going to the applicant's social media account, and they're looking at them to determine, are you really who you say you are on paper? Even here, there's signs of social media being determined whether or not you can be employed, at least in a particular place. But it's also China is combining it with the facial recognition system so that if you're a citizen in their country, you not only get a social media score, But if you don't do what they say, they're going to know it because they'll find your face anywhere in public and they'll monitor you and either restrict you or in their monitoring of you, that's when they find out you're being a, quote, bad citizen. In fact, we share a news clip of a reporter who put China's facial social score credit system to the test to see just how good it was. And he gets there into one of their large cities. He submits to the system just a picture of him. They put it into China's database system, and then he takes off. And so the test was, how long would it take China's system to find a complete stranger in this city that's well over 1 million-plus people who's never been in their system before? They found the guy. He took off running, roaming the city. They found the guy and didn't just find the guy. They literally hauled him away with police in 7 minutes. That's how accurate their system is. Now, again, our own media is saying we are showing signs here in America of soon doing the same thing.
But Facebook, I played the clip. They can track those who are not even on Facebook. How is that possible?
Talk about sneaky. Gee, you wonder why this never made the congressional hearings. Facebook is so sneaky about their cataloging of behavior and information on people and monitoring. The clip that we got wasn't even from America. We had to get it from Europe. At least Europe admitted this. Facebook is found a way that they are tracking you even if you don't have a Facebook or any kind of a social media account, period. And the way that they do that is if you're online, period, and any page you go to, and if it has a Facebook little like button or Facebook logo thing in there, that actually enables them to track you. And it sounds crazy, but that's what they're doing. So think about it, folks. Name one page, basically, you go to, I don't care where you go, that doesn't have a Facebook icon or like button on it. They're everywhere.
Yep, they're so everywhere. You're right.
So Facebook has found a way to track you even if you don't have an account with them.
But you do have to be online.
Well, exactly. And that goes back to the premise. Listen, I'm not afraid of that. And frankly, I know that the stuff that I'm doing, the conversations, my computer, it's all being tracked. But it's not a time to be fearful. It's a time to be faithful. And the enemy is using this technology to communicate bad things to the planet. How about, while we still have the freedom, use it to communicate good things, i.e. the things of God to the planet.
Yes.
So that's my focus, and that's, I think, where we should be as Christians.
Yes, and I think we need to emphasize that we need to redeem the things that we're talking about that may sound ominous. We can redeem them. Let's, while we have the time, because our time is winding down, I played a little clip a little bit earlier about the, let's just call it the eye in the sky, the satellite systems in the sky. Now, some of these things are doing some great things. They really are. They're for the benefit of the world. On the other hand,
Live Earth is a real-time mapping platform for visualizing time series data and live data streams. Live Earth delivers real-time situational awareness to help organizations make time-critical, data-driven decisions, leveraging information from disparate sources. Live Earth helps correlate events and uncover patterns and trends by synchronizing weather radar, traffic conditions, connected cars, transportation sensors, video management systems, shot detection sensors, and more. This touchscreen software is built with an intuitive interface that requires little or no training because it borrows concepts from your smartphone and tablet, like pinch and zoom maps, and an interactive timeline, much like you already use to record and play back your favorite TV shows. Live Earth also provides instant replay, which lets you play, pause, and rewind geospatial data over time to quickly reconstruct recent scenarios. Live Earth is configurable and extensible, allowing you to add and remove data sources, live feeds, and map layers to suit your operational needs. Live Earth's advanced visualization delivers the right information at the right time, helping you make the right decisions. With Live Earth, you can see all your streaming data in one place to quickly understand what's happening and act fast when it matters most.
Okay, Pastor Billy Crone, the satellite in the sky, I think, can do some, as I said, some wonderful things, but you call it Big Brother in the sky. Now, let's talk about more specifically. We've got GPS, we've got Google Earth, we've got Google Maps. The whole GPS system is, that has made finding places so much easier. And isn't Siri our friend? I mean, I thought she was. Gosh, she's helped me out so many times.
Yeah, well, that would be nice if that's all it was. But unfortunately, with a lot of this technology, it's a double-edged sword. We're sold that it's going to be for our convenience and for our good, but there's a horrible side effect, and it becomes a big, giant, big brother monitoring device, including satellites in the sky. And that's important because, again, you go back to Revelation 13, how is the Antichrist mm-hmm. going to know where people are around the planet and what they're doing and whether or not they obey or disobey when he dishes out this order to worship him? Well, something as simple as not just the cell phone we talked about, but even satellites in the sky. And folks, they are so far advanced, most people have no clue. I mean, they literally, you played the clip before, that they're looking at satellites where they could actually see from space your screen on your cell phone. And that's current technology, folks. In fact, I have to chuckle with a little bit of sarcasm every time I see the news reports and they show like the drone strikes. They took out so-and-so a drone strike. And what do they show you? They show you like these crosshairs and this black and white fuzzy footage, and they show like this bomb that blows up. And are you kidding me, folks? They got footage of everything on the planet that is high def down to seeing the screen on your cell phone, but we are conditioned that it's just still black and white and fuzzy and they can't really see what's going on. That's not true at all. In fact, it's not just the governments around the world, it's private industries around the world. Google, Bill Gates, the elitists of the world, their stated goal is they not only want to, it's live Earth, all right, they want to be watching the Earth live constantly, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it's not just pictures, folks, it's video, high-definition video. In fact, they call it continuous monitoring. But don't worry, it's for your own good. And we will be able to continuously monitor for any bad behavior in cities, you name it. And isn't that wonderful?
Well, you quote Sergey Brin, he's the founder of Google, as saying, we want to be like the mind of God and the eye of God. I mean, that's a statement. I didn't know that was out there.
Yeah, exactly, Jen. And they live up to their statements.
Yes, they do.
Google Earth, like you mentioned, Google Maps, Google, they had bought a satellite company, Skybox, and their stated goal, and we quote them, is they not only want to take pictures of the planet, but videotape the planet. They want to do it three and a half times a day. They want to be videotaping the planet so that they can monitor boat traffic. And, hey, we'll be able to see those poachers. And don't you want to save the whales?
Well, again, I'd say there is some good that they are doing. I really want to emphasize that. But it's sort of like there's no place to hide. And certainly during the tribulation, there will be absolutely no place to hide. That's why the appeal of these 2 hours, folks, has been come to Jesus Christ today so that you can avoid all of the things that we're talking about that blossom in the tribulation. We're seeing evidences of them now big time. This is a foreshadowing of how life will be during that 7-year time of absolute hell on earth for those who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. The GPS is basically, it's a tracking and storing piece of data, more tracking and more storing. They have convinced really the world that all of this is for our good. I think that's the conditioning that's very interesting, Billy Crone.
Yeah, it is. And it's a dovetail your statement, Janet, that the whole point is for the Christian, it's not a time to be fearful, but a time to be faithful. These are events that are going to lead up to the 7-year tribulation, which Jesus said, obviously true, I agree, the worst time in the history of mankind. Okay, you don't want to be there. But if you're not a Christian, this information should, frankly, lead you to Christ. You need to get saved and get saved now. And it's also important when you look at this big brother aspect, because how many times do you hear from the non-Christian, oh, you Christians are a bunch of wackos, but I'll tell you what, I'll make a deal with you, quote unquote. If you Christians disappear at the rapture, then I'll know that everything you were telling me was true, and then I'll get saved then, or I'll just try to hide out from this horrible system you're talking about from the Antichrist. You can't hide. When you take a look at the big brother technology, as you said, Jen, there will be no place to hide.
No.
They will know everything about you, every moment, of your, not just information, your likes and dislikes, they'll know you better than you, they'll know your exact location, you won't be able to hide. You won't be able to run out and to make it to some bug-out shelter, you won't be able to go anywhere. The only way to, quote, escape is not a bug-out shelter, is to receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. That's what this information should lead you to do.
Absolutely. There's probably one area that we can at least refer to it, and that is some of the items that our listeners have in their homes. Great convenience. Alexa's playing my radio program. I mean, why shouldn't I like Alexa? You can talk to her and she'll turn on Understanding the Times. So will Miss Siri. She'll turn on Understanding the Times radio in a nanosecond. I think you're saying in this presentation, and again, the series itself is 8 DVDs with 16 compelling teachings on modern technology. Folks, you can find it in my store, olivetreeviews.org. You can call my office. Or you can learn a lot more about it. You'll find that at getalifemedia.com, getalifemedia.com. Billy, the home assistants, guess they're always listening and sharing our conversations. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. And again, we're just sharing actual news clips. It's there in the news. Mm-hmm. People are paying attention. And they're admitting, and they're also admitting that the manufacturers are not telling the people what they're really doing with these devices. These so-called home assistants, like Alexa or Siri and Google Home and all that stuff, they're not there just to, hey, what's the recipe for chicken cacciatore or something? They are constantly monitoring you and listening to you and recording you. And, of course, part of it is they have to, because if it was really, quote, turned off when you said, hey, Alexa, tell me this, then how would it recognize you? It's always on. But it's not just always on. It's recording, and we show secular news clips of people who found out the hard way of third parties calling them and saying, we got a recording of you and a conversation you were having in your bedroom with your husband, all from Alexa. In fact, we also document it's gone so far, kid you not, folks, here's the next trend. These home assistant devices, like Alexa, are not just always on and always recording. They're now being called into actual court cases as evidence of people's behavior. And people say, well, I didn't harm that person. I wasn't even there. They actually, does the person have Alexa? They pull up the records, and they will find out whether or not that was true. That's already happening.
Okay. Apparently, they can be hacked into as well. Is that right?
And that's the other problem with a lot of these devices. We already talked about how cell phones can be hacked into. Basically, again, with the phrase, anytime you see the word smart in front of something, right, whether it be a smart home assistant like Alexa or a smartphone or a smart appliance or a smart car or smart whatever, that means Big Brother. It means it could be hacked into. Yeah. Because all these devices are tied into the internet or some sort of a satellite signal, a wireless capability, and every one of those scenarios can be tapped into. So you look at the trend to basically bring not just the satellite in the sky watching us, it's permeating our every society. There's cameras not just from satellites watching us, they're in cities. The UK right now has 6 million cameras out there. You think that's bad? United States of America, we have way more than that. In fact, China, of course, is leading the way. China has 170 million CCT cameras, and they expect in the next couple of years to install 400 million more. But even here in America, we are 5 times the amount of cameras in the UK, so we're beating them. But the point is, we've been tricked, Jan, and that's out in the public sector. And so not only Big Brother Eye in the sky, but Big Brother Eye on the ground, but even in your home. Because guess what? We're being told that we need to bring cameras in our homes. And you know what, Jim? It's so that we could see if anybody is breaking into our home now.
Oh, okay. Yes, exactly. The little cameras outside your home. They're suspect, too, I'm learning.
Exactly. And again, all these devices are what? They're tied into the internet, the Ring doorbell devices and all that stuff that takes pictures. But the cameras on the outside to see if somebody's around your property. Yep. Or they even have us now have cameras on the inside in case they break through that front door.
Right.
We can see where they're coming through. Well, guess what, folks? And we demonstrate this. All that can be hacked into. So now we went from cameras in the sky to cameras in the public all over the ground to now cameras in our house, which means they're watching you in your home. And we document this, that there are actually people who can hack into your home, smart home system, and they can hack in and watch you and monitor you at all time. It isn't just your webcam on your computer. It's baby monitoring devices they can hack into. Again, the security system cameras they can monitor and hack into. And it's not just video. It's also audio. And you couple that with these so-called smart assistants with Alexa, your own home has now got tricked into becoming, if you utilize these services, to a Big Brother paradise. So they'll know everything about you outside your house and now everything inside your house. And I will bring this up. And this is not speaking of the church. This is speaking about the people in the seven-year tribulation. But I do find it very interesting that Jesus says in Matthew 24, when the Antichrist, basically after the abomination of desolation, the midway point, goes on his hunting spree, Jesus said, whatever you do, speaking to those people at that time, not the church, he says, whatever you do, don't go back to your home. And I often wonder, it's like, well, gee, I wonder why. Because we all think that home is, that's our security. Home is a man's castle. Home is a, at least I could defend myself there. But Jesus, read the Bible, specifically says, don't. You just need to flee and get out of there. What's sad is, that's speaking of people in the seven-year tribulation. You need to listen to Jesus' other words and avoid the whole thing. And that is this. If you would call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, ask him to forgive you of all of your sins, trust in his work and his work alone on the cross to forgive you, confess him as Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, that the Bible says you will be saved. And you're not just saved from sin and you receive forgiveness of sins, but you're saved from what? You're saved from the seven-year tribulation, and you won't go there. That's the only way to get out of this mess. It isn't by buying more security equipment. None of that is going to work. Read the Bible. The only way to escape it is to turn to Jesus Christ now before it's too late. And since all these events show us that the time is short, time is running out, the seven-year tribulation is coming faster than we think, and we leave prior to the rapture of the church, then that means it's more imminent than ever, which means you are flirting with being left behind. Don't make that mistake.
It's,
get saved today.
Unthinkable, folks, being left behind. It truly is. It is. Pastor Billy Crone, I want to thank you for giving up 2 weeks worth of programming here. You can find this 8 DVD set on modern technology. Again, it's in my store, olivetreeviews.org. Learn a lot more at getalifemedia.com. That's Pastor Crone's website. Get on my newsletter lists, and products will be offered there as well. Here's the thing going out of the program here. For 2 weeks, we've talked about having literally no place to hide. In a sense, that's the case now. Certainly, as we've emphasized, that's the case in the tribulation. But the believer right now can take shelter under the shadow of his wings, as it says in Psalm 91:4. Arrows may come at us and even hit us now and then, but they cannot hurt us when we are protected by our Lord and our God. Indeed, we are under the shadow of his wings. So I want to thank you for listening for 2 weeks to this two-part series. I want to thank you, Pastor Billy Crone. We'll talk to you next week.
We have an active store at olivetreeviews.org with dozens of cutting-edge products. Write us through our website, olivetreeviews.org, or call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. All gifts are tax deductible. You can reach us by mail by writing to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Until next week, know that God has everything under control and everything is falling into place.